Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Skip the prima donna prayers because that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. You probably don't even know what I just said, right? That's why I'm going to talk about it. Prima donna prayers means Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa. Those are called prima donna. Donna means sound or vibration, and prema means love. So why do we chant these prayers, this list, litany? Why do we chant it? That's what I'm going to talk about. What we're saying, why we're doing it. I figure it's something, if you're new, you probably wonder, what is this person saying? And if you've been around for a while, you may say, may not even understand. I mean, I find that devotees have been around a long time, and they're still not quite sure what all of these things mean that we're saying. In case anybody wonders what the origin of these are, don't ask because I don't know. Don't keep the question in your mind the whole class. I don't know what the origin is or what the history is. For our origin is Srila Prabhupada. He chanted them. That's how we learned them. So I wanted to talk about them, some of the things. We'll do a bit of a meditation on these prayers, something we do all the time. It's good to be conscious of what we're doing, enter into a meditation, and we get more from our devotional activities if we're conscious, put our hearts and minds into it more fully, be aware of what we're doing. So these prayers, prema dhwani, they begin with jai. Everybody knows jai. The word jai means victory, but it also means all glories. I wasn't actually sure of this. I thought, well, maybe that's just sort of the way we translate it. So for confirmation, I looked in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and that's the way our Sanskrit Pandit Gopi Paranadan Peru translates it, all glories. So jai does mean all glories. So we have lots of things to glorify. We say jai a lot because there are so many glorious entities, worshipable personalities, whom we've come in contact with by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So we begin our prema dhwani with jai to Srila Prabhupada. Of course, each one of these prayers also ends with ki jai. The person reciting them says jai om and so on, and then at the end ki, and then everybody says jai. So ki is the way you form a possessive in Sanskrit. So it kind of means of. How it all works exactly, I'm not sure, but that's literally what it means. It's a possessive. I remember I was discussing this with a group of devotees one time, and someone said, what is ki anyway? We always say ki. And one of the devotees said, it means it's time to say jai. So, ki, jai. So in Prabhupada's prayer, jai om, it begins with a jai, and then om. Of course, om, everyone knows what om is. Well, maybe everyone doesn't know what om is. There are a lot of misconceptions about what om is. In fact, it's interesting that we probably say om more than a lot of people who are supposed to be chanting om, because it appears, just like in this, Jai Om Vishnupad, and Nama Om Vishnupadaya, Srila Prabhupada's prayer. We have oms all over the place. The unfortunate situation in the world today is om is often associated with impersonalists. People even take it to some impersonal. It's a, you know, the all-pervasive oneness is om. But Krishna says, pranava sarva vedeshu. Om, the name for om is pranava. So om, Krishna says, I am the syllable om in all the Vedic mantras. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can read where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a discussion with an impersonalist, Prakash Ananda Saraswati, and an important aspect of that discussion was, what is the Mahavakya? Mahavakya means, what is the great sound, or its great syllable, or spoken word from the Vedas. So the impersonalists, they think that, or phrase, they think it's tattvamasi or soham. These are phrases which emphasize the our identity with God. In other words, the oneness, which is, of course, true in a sense. We are one with God, as Prabhupada would point out. We're one in quality. God is spirit, we're spirit. We come from him. So there is a oneness. But that's not the end of it. So the Om, the sense when you're chanting Om is that there's a distinction. Actually, you're offering your respect to God, to Krishna. That's the way Vaishnavas, that is our meditation. When we're saying Om, we're offering glorification to Krishna in that sound. So we want to reclaim Om. It belongs as much to the Vaishnavas as the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, or actually more, because it's Krishna. It's actually a name. Krishna has unlimited names. One of Krishna's names is Om. So Om comes up many times in our prayers, just like in this one, Jai Om. When we want to glorify the great Vaishnavas, great devotees, we glorify them in relationship to Krishna. Of course, whenever you chant the name Om, then you're invoking auspiciousness. You're invoking Krishna's presence. Krishna is present in the sound of Om. So to glorify Krishna, Srila Prabhupada or any acharyas, we make that connection also. Jai Om, Srila Prabhupada. So the next word is Vishnupad. Now Vishnupad, this word of course appears in Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra, the prayer that we say to Srila Prabhupada. But Vishnupad means the one who is situated at the feet of Lord Vishnu. Now sometimes devotees, they get a little funny about things, and they don't want to mention Vishnu because everything is Krishna. We don't want, we're Krishna bhaktas, not Vishnu bhaktas. So why Vishnu padaya? Well, Krishna is Vishnu. That's the point. And Vishnu is Krishna. Just because he changes his hat from one day to the next, he's the same person. So when Krishna appears as Vishnu, he's still Krishna. He's just appearing in a different capacity. So we had no problem putting our head at the feet of Lord Vishnu. Definitely not. Vishnu Padaya, one who is situated at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. That's the... Actually, this is a whole list of adjectives, you might say, for Srila Prabhupada. This is often done in glorifying great personalities. You run through a whole list of things to explain how great they are. So the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, the first that we say is to Srila Prabhupada, he is great because he's situated at the lotus feet of Vishnu. He's great because those lotus feet are difficult to obtain, for one thing. It says in the Brahma Samhita that the munis or great thinkers, even if they travel at the speed of mind for millions and millions of years, they'll be lucky to get a glimpse of the rays coming from the toenails of the Lord. That's how far away we are in our normal consciousness from those lotus feet. So to be situated at those lotus feet, that's a great place to be. Now, of course, it also means that the spiritual master is taking the humble position. He's not sitting on Vishnu's head. He's sitting at his feet. In fact, all of these prayers that we say, the premise behind them is we're servants of all of these great personalities. We put our heads to the floor in our practice. Somehow this evolved. I don't know if Srila Prabhupada instituted this or not, but devotees did it, and now we've been doing it for a long time. When the Prema Dhwani are chanted, we put our heads to the floor. Because we're submitting ourselves, we're saying we're the servants of all these personalities, beginning with Srila Prabhupada. Humility is the beginning of spiritual life. If you don't think you have to bow to God, then there's no hope for you. There's one, Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Seattle about submission, and somebody at the end said, oh, this was an oral 1968 lecture, He said, I just don't feel like I have to bow down to anybody. Prabhupada said, what do you mean? You're forced to bow down. And death will come and make you bow down. You'll be doing your dandavats whether you like it or not. In fact, you're bowing down at every moment. This material energy is forcing us to bow down. So the Vaishnava devotees, we have the realization that, well, we have to bow down. Might as well bow down at the lotus feet of Krishna. We have to serve. Might as well serve Krishna. Serve the greatest. So we're serving the greatest and the servant of the greatest and the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, so many times removed of the greatest, because we know there's nothing greater than that. To be God's servant or the servant of God's servant, there's nothing greater than that. So this is our Vishnupadaya. We can think Prabhupada's at Krishna's lotus feet. That's where we want to be also. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa. So the next is Paramahamsa, then Parivrajakacharya. These two are sort of inverted in the natural order. These are actually two stages of sannyas, the renounced order of life. There are four stages. Each of these stages of life are broken into different levels, especially the later ones. In Vanaprastha Ashram, there's four stages, and then Sannyas Ashram, there's four stages. First one is Kutichak, then Bahudak, then Parivrajakacharya, then Paramahamsa. And Kutichak means there's still a little attachment there. The sannyasi gets his meals from home. Doesn't see his family, but his wife brings him, because he's never cooked his whole life, so wife has to keep bringing him food. So he's Kutichak, he's living in the Kuti, in the Bhajan Kuti. And Bahudak is when his wife stops bringing and he has to go out on his own and find his own meals. She says, now you go find your own food. I'm not bringing it to you anymore. And Bahudak. Then Parivrajakacharya, he's sufficiently purified, then he starts preaching. That's Parivrajakacharya. So for us, that title for Srila Prabhupada is so important. If it weren't for Prabhupada being Parivrajakacharya, actually maybe I should say this a little more slowly, because it tends to get slurred, and devotees who say it all different kinds of ways. They tend to skip a few syllables in there. It's a long word. Pari means around, like parikrama, walk around. And vrajaka means, that also means to go around, or to go out and go around. Vrajaka, so pari, vrajaka, one who... It means an itinerant preacher. Acharya means the spiritual master who teaches by example. So really what it means is an itinerant preacher, somebody who walks around and preaches. Parivrajaka Acharya. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, somebody coined the term in reference to him, Jetage Parivrajaka Acharya. So his walking was up the ramp onto the airplane and then flying all over the world so many times. So he didn't walk necessarily. Traditionally, the sannyasis would walk and preach. But Srila Prabhupada is Parivrajakacharya, which is so... Actually, this should not be taken lightly, because even though technically Paramahansa is a higher stage, Parivrajakacharya, in one sense, is higher because the preacher is the most dear to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada could have stayed in Vrindavan, lived comfortably, that's his place. He's a devotee of Krishna. Where else can you be when you're on his level of devotion? So sitting there so comfortably, relishing the atmosphere of Vrindavan Dham, especially as it was back then. Now it's become like a city, but it was a little village there full of devotees of Krishna. But he left all of that. In fact, Prabhupada had such a burning desire, you read in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, such an advanced age. He just wanted to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. That was his life. He quoted this, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the order of the spiritual master should be the life of the disciple. So that he really embodied that principle. He couldn't live without going and preaching to the English-speaking world. So Prabhupada is so glorious because of this. Parivrajaka Acharya. And Paramahamsa, in the prayer that comes before, Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya. So Paramahamsa means the transcendental swan. So there are different meanings to this metaphor. One is that really it means that fully above this world. The swan, Paramahamsa, means has nothing to do with this world, completely transcendental. Now Prabhupada gave an additional meaning that is a swan, or at least some celestial swan, is able to extract milk from a mixture of milk and water. So the Paramahamsa knows how to take the essence of things. So Srila Prabhupada, one thing he took the essence of was the Vedic literature, the teachings of the previous acharyas, and he brought it to us in a form that we could understand. He put it in a package that we could understand. Otherwise, it's a very complex. Most people are completely bewildered. Unless you have an acharya like Srila Prabhupada, which there is no other, unless you have Prabhupada to show you the way, you'll just be completely bewildered. People have no idea, really, that there is even a Siddhanta or Vedanta, that there is a purpose for all of this bewildering array of gods and goddesses and rituals and so on. So Prabhupada brought it to us. And even Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which is already condensed Vedic knowledge, is also complex and highly philosophical. He brought it to us in a way that we could digest, get nourishment from. So he brought us that milk. Paramahansa Parivrajaka Acharya. Ashtotarashata. So the next is, he's glorified as 108, which is very unusual, of course. To call someone 108 is sort of their nickname or something. 108, but that goes in the list of all the qualities. So 108 is just considered an auspicious number. It's used in glorifying great souls. Let me break that one down too. Ashtotarashata. Ashta means eight. Everybody knows Ashtasakhi, eight gopis. So Ashta, at least that part, at least many of you know the Ashtasakhi. So Ashta means eight. And Uttara means above. Just like in India, Uttara Pradesh. It's on the northern part of the country. So eight above, and Shata means 100. So that's how you get 108. Ashtotarashata, eight above 100. So 108, because Krishna has 108 principal gopis. There are 108 principal Upanishads. If I remember correctly, I think Krishna has 108 primary groups of cows. So this number is used in different ways. So the spiritual master is honored with this. It's applied to him because it's an auspicious number. And he's auspicious. Then Srila Prabhupada's name comes. Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. His name, of course, Prabhupada's birth name was Abhaicharan. At the time of initiation, he met his spiritual master in 1922, was initiated in 1933, and his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, changed his name from Abhaicharan to Abhaicharanaravinda Das. And then when he took sannyas from his godbrother, Bhakti Pragyana Keshava Maharaj, he changed his name to A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Now I have a little personal attachment to opinion on this. I wish that we would just keep that name and not change it. Not change Prabhupada's name to Goswami. I don't particularly like the calling him Abhaicharanaravinda A.C. either. But I think that's a post-Prabhupada that started. I'm not 100% sure of that, but in my recollection, it was after Prabhupada's passing that the devotees started using that. Somehow it sounds more grandiose, I guess, if you say Abhaicharanaravinda, which is nice, of course. But Prabhupada's sannyas name is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, and that's the way it's written on his book, so I prefer to keep it that way. And then Prabhupada, of course, which is the word Prabhupada means that all the other Prabhus are at his feet. We're all subordinate. Srila Prabhupada said, we call each other Prabhus, all of his followers. Prabhu means master. So everyone, a devotee is supposed to think of himself or herself as servant As I said before, we're servant of the servant of the servant. It's where we're all servants of each other, actually. We take in our own mind, no, I'm the servant of everyone else. So everyone else is my Prabhu. So in that sense, everyone is Prabhu for us. But there are so many Prabhus, but one Prabhupada. All these other Prabhus, they're glorious because they situate themselves at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So we say that prayer, then we say one to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's spiritual master. And then sometimes devotees say other gurus in the disciplic succession, Bhakti Siddhanta's spiritual master, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji. So these other great acharyas in our line. Now one thing about these prayers, there are some of them that are pretty much standard, and sometimes devotees change them a little bit, add things. Even Prabhupada himself would sometimes add things, like he was at a particular place and he would say such and such, New Dwarka Dham Ki Jai, or something like that. I was with him and I happened to be there with a group of devotees traveling with Srila Prabhupada in 1976 on a little tour between the Mayapur and Vrindavan festivals. So one place we went to was a city called Modi Nagar. And it's a big, rich industrial family, the Modi family. So they own the whole town, basically. It's all their factories. So we did a program there. And when Srila Prabhupada did the Jai Om Vishnupada after he chanted Jai Radha Madhava, then he said, Modi family ki jai. So we have the precedent that Srila Prabhupada would sometimes do things like that, improvise. So we do that also. Sometimes we add things. So in any case, we have certain standard ones. So then we say, Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur. So one thing I was curious about, you know, what is the history and the origin of this? I was wondering who compiled the list, who decided who was going to be on the list. So obviously anyone's there, no one's going to argue with them, but we could also think, well, others could also be on there too. But we can see Nam Acharya Haridas Thakur, he has such great significance for us because in case you don't know, Nam Acharya means the Acharya or the teacher or spiritual master or preacher of Nam, which means Krishna Nam or Krishna's name. So he was Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur was designated as the official teacher of the holy name, you can say, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because the religion for this age is chanting Hare Krishna, chanting Krishna's name. So this is a very, very exalted position to be in, even among Lord Chaitanya's followers, to have that designation as the Nam Acharya, designated in that role in this age, the age of chanting Hare Krishna. So we say Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Then Ananta Koti Vaishna Vrinda Ki Jai. That's why I say so many people could be on that list. This confirms it. There, how many devotees could be on that list? Ananta Koti Vaishnav. Ananta Koti means unlimited millions. So it would take us a long time if we just chanted every devotee we could think of, put on that list, because there are unlimited millions of devotees. Now we think ourselves in the minority, which of course we are, because we're living in the prison of the material world. That's where we find ourselves. As Prabhupada would say, in the state, most people are law-abiding. There are only not so many are in the jails. Of course, that number keeps increasing, but it's still a minority. So we're also in a majority, actually. We Hare Krishna people, we're in the majority. There are Ananta Koti Vaishnav, millions, hundreds and millions, actually unlimited. Ananta means unlimited. Koti means millions. Unlimited millions of Vaishnavas. So we can't list them all, so we'll try to cover as many, if we all of them, with this one phrase, Ananta Koti Vaishnava, Vrinda. Vrinda means group. So the group, that group, which is a pretty big group, we're offering our obeisances to that group. Then we say, Prem Seka Ho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So let me stop on that first word. It's not Prem Shri, it's Prem Se, which means in prema. In prema, in love, kaho, call out. So the devotee who's leading is saying, in love, call out, Prem se kaho, he's saying, call out, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. So he or she is telling all the other devotees, call out this Panchatattva mantra. So this is, of course, the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his principal followers. They're called the Panchatattva. Some of you may not know this term. Panchatattva means five truths, five spiritual truths. So Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who's Lord Chaitanya, who's Krishna himself, he's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He represents Ishvara Tattva. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsa Bhritya. Ultimately, there's one person at the top, that's Krishna. Now he expands in others who are equal in power to him, but he's the beginning of it all. He's the Ishvara. And then Nityananda Prabhu, who is Lord Balaram. We have our Krishna Balaram deities here. Actually, Prabhupada said, the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is that Krishna is black and Balaram is white. So otherwise, they have the same power. Actually, if you study the tattvas, the ontology, the philosophy deeply of Krishna consciousness, you'll see that pretty much Balaram does everything. Krishna, he just enjoys, especially with the gopis, the cowherd girl. He just plays, and all the work that has to be done is done through Balaram. Of course, he doesn't do it himself either. He expands. So we can't do that, unfortunately, but they can do that because they're God. So he just creates others to do all the work with the same power that he does, so there's no drop-off there. You give things to subordinates, you think, well, I don't know if they're going to do it as good as I could do it. But Balaram and Krishna, they don't have to worry about that. So Balaram, so they represent different tattvas. Balaram represents the incarnation, or avatar tattva, the incarnations of Krishna. In fact, the incarnations all come through an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of expansion of Baladev. They come through Kshirodakshaya Vishnu or Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So Balaram represents avatar tattva. And then Advaita Acharya, he represents the Prakash tattva. Now, that's very similar. Prakash, although it tends to mean Krishna's forms in the spiritual world and all the other spiritual planets, Vaikuntha planets. These expansions of Krishna, they're represented by Advaita Acharya. So these three, Chaitanya, Nityananda, and Advaita, they're all called Vishnu Tattva, which means of the same unlimited power of God. Then after them, Advaita, then Gadadhar. Gadadhar, he represents the Krishna's internal energy. That means the Krishna's spiritual world, his eternal associates in the spiritual world, they're all expansions of his internal energy. You can say it's closer to being actually Krishna. In one sense, Krishna is everything and not everything, but his internal potency is a little more him than we are. We're expansions of the marginal potency. So the marginal potency is a little more separated, extended out, you might say. And the marginal potency is represented by Srivas. So it says Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Here again we have this word Vrinda or group of Gaura Bhaktas, which means the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the head of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srivas Adi. Adi means beginning with or and so on. The devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu beginning with Srivas. So Srivas represents the devotees of the Lord that are in the marginal potency, or even all the devotees, because he had a special role in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. The Sankirtan movement began in his house, actually. So, Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So then there are other things we say. I, of course, I don't have time. This could go on. There's a lot to say. There's just one thing I wanted to mention. Well, I'll just go through. Then we say to Radha Krishna, actually just the next one, Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopinath, Shyamakund, Radha Kund, Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. So even this list, I think, gee, lots of different things could be included in there. In fact, when devotees get to Gopa Gopinath, then some say Go, some say Gopi, some say Gopa. So go, Gopi, say all three of them if you want, it's okay. So this refers to Radha Krishna, Radha and Krishna, of course, everyone knows. Then Go means the cows. or Gopa. Gopa means the cowherd boys or the cowherd men. Gopinath means Krishna. He's the lord of the gopis. So then you get the gopis in there because you have Gopi and Gopinath. Shyamakund, Radhakund, very special lakes of Vrindavan, most sacred places in the universe. Then Giri Govardhan Hill, we celebrate Govardhan Puja every day. Then we offer prayers to Tulsi Maharani, Bhakti Devi, the goddess of Bhakti. Goddess, everything is personified in spiritual life, so there's goddess Bhakti. Now, one thing I wanted to mention at the end. Now, Srila Prabhupada, of course, if you listen to Srila Prabhupada, then at the end, he says, thank you very much. Of course, we don't say that. What we often say is, all glories to Sri Guru Gauranga. And then devotees have different ways of saying that. So, Guru Gauranga, you may not know, the guru in that is Nityananda. That's actually what Guru Gauranga means. You can look it up actually in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 831 in the purport. Prabhupada discusses this. In fact, I was seeing it, and there were some letters, some correspondence where Prabhupada talks about Guru Gauranga altar, or devotees apparently writing to him about that. And I was seeing how devotees may have been confused because we tend to have the gurus and Gauranga on the same altar. So they're probably thinking, oh, this is the Guru Gauranga altar, so guru means the gurus. But actually, Guru Gauranga means Chaitanya and Nityananda. That's actually what Guru Gauranga means. Of course, if you want to think of it the other way, that's all right. It's like Prabhupada said, if you want to think of Ram in the Maha Mantra as Ram Chandra, Balaram, no problem. You do it whatever you it's okay. So you can think of Guru Gauranga that way, but Srila Prabhupada explained it. Actually, Guru Gauranga means Chaitanya Nityananda, because Nityananda is the original Guru. He's Balaram. He's Balaram expanded, or not expanded, the same person. Nityananda, Balaram, same person. So he's the source of all. He's the incarnate, or the, he's called the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. As I said, because in one sense, you might say only Krishna is God. Everybody else is the servant, because everybody else thinks of themselves as the servant. Even Balaram, his consciousness is, I am serving. He expands himself in so many ways to serve Krishna. He's the bed. Anantashesha is Balaram. He becomes Krishna's bed in his expansion. So he's also the guru, because what does the guru connects everybody else to Krishna. So he represents that also, Guru Tattva. So those are just a few thoughts. There's a lot more that could be said about this. A little meditation. So when you hear these prayers, maybe you can be a little more conscious of what's being said, and because it's always hard. I know I'm always fighting my mind, so many distractions. When I enter into the temple, I try to concentrate a little harder here in this atmosphere, because the world out there, so much screaming for our attention. So at least in here, we could try to focus on the holy name and all everything we have. It's all so powerful, transcendentally powerful, infinitely powerful and deep. There's no lack. You can enter. This is the spiritual world, and we can't forget. This is the spiritual world. It is, actually. We're not seeing it that way. Just like if we go to Vrindavan, one devotee, Vaishnavacharya, he wrote in a poem, when I go to Vrindavan, I just see thorns and people with coarse language and yelling at me. And so maybe that's the way we see it too, hogs and running sewers and this and that. But no, the purified soul sees jewels. Nana ratna nibadda mula vitapa Sri Yukta Vrindavane. The Goswamis saw that every tree has jewels around the base. That's what they see in Vrindavan. So the whole spiritual world is here also, but our consciousness is somewhere else. But when we enter here, we should try to bring it here, keep it here at the lotus feet of Krishna. So we can always try to improve our, there's no lack of opportunity to improve our consciousness, our Krishna consciousness. This is the place to do it, improve our meditation and everything Srila Prabhupada has given us, all of these unlimitedly valuable gifts that he's given us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we have a few minutes. If someone would like to ask something. Oh, so many hands. Shesha was the first one up.
Prabhu, you were talking about Prem Shekha Ho.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that Hindi as opposed to Sanskrit, which all the other words are
actually,
Sanskrit?
Actually, is Madhumati here? Is it Hindi? I was thinking, in fact, I didn't know these prayers, that they were Bengali, Hindi, Sanskrit. It's kind of a mix, isn't it?
Yeah. Ki is also Hindi.
Ki is also Hindi. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was why would we have Hindi? We're Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Everything is in Bengali. I'm not sure why we have Hindi in there. It could also be in Bengali. Any Bengalis here? No. Also Bengali? Okay. So Bengali. Yeah, I thought it may have been Bengali. I wasn't sure. Yeah, so that's one thing about our liturgy, our prayers. We have a mix of Bengali because we're... Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Bengal, so we have Bengali prayers, but we also have some Sanskrit. Our Samsara Davana Lalita Loka, the prayer that we sing, Guru Vashtakam, that's in Sanskrit. But the Guru Puja prayer is in Bengali, so we have a mix. So he's praying the Dwani. Now, Dwani, is that Sanskrit? Either, also. Yeah, that's the thing. Bengali is very close. There are many, many words in Bengali that are close. I think of the Indian languages, maybe it's the closest, maybe, too. Or at least there are many things that are very close. Okay, Prabhu.
Thank you for the illuminating and well-articulated class. If I may, I'd like to comment in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 3rd chapter, talks between Sati and Shiva, verse 23. Prabhupada writes that Srila Jiva Goswami has very nicely described this Vasudeva or Shuddhasattva in his Bhagavat Sandarbha. He explains that Ashtotara Shata, 108, is added to the name of the spiritual master to indicate one who is situated in Shuddhasattva or in the transcendental state of Vasudeva, pure goodness.
Yeah, so that number represents transcendence. That's another way of looking at it. So we use it all the time. Devotees like to use 108. So if you want to give a donation tonight, make it 108. Not to me, for others.
Just to add to what Prabhuji just said, the Ashtottara Shata Sri, they go together.
Uh-huh.
So when we say Sri Sri Radhesham, we say Sri twice, one for Radharani, one for Shyam Sundar. But for the spiritual master, we say Ashtottara Shata Sri. So instead of saying Sri 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 108 times, we are saying 108 Sris.
Oh, very nice.
So they go together.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You mentioned that it was no difference between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is the color white and black. Why sometimes do we see Krishna as, you know, white, like in Kishore in Chicago?
Prabhupada said Krishna's also, someone asked him that. He said Krishna's also white. He comes in so many different colors. So he can come as white if he wants to. Yeah, it's not something to get hung up on, actually. Color's not... Actually, when Prabhupada... That's like someone said one time to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why does Jagannath look different? Prabhupada said, he looks different? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Lord Jagannath, he saw Krishna playing the flute. So according to our vision, Krishna may look white, but maybe he's only looking white to you. Not actually white.
One other question, Prabhu. You also mentioned that Srila Prabhupada's god brother gave him the name Prabhupada.
He didn't give him the name Prabhupada. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami.
Oh, okay. I thought you mentioned Prabhupada too.
No, that came later.
All right.
When Srila Prabhupada had his movement, his disciples asked him if they could call him that. Actually, I think... Leela Nanda in the back had his hand up early. Over here, Prabhu.
You don't see me, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, my peripheral vision's not so good.
I just wanted to ask about that Prem Shekha Ho. Since the speaker says Prem Shekha Ho, I mean, you're supposed to chant out loud.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering, shouldn't we all chant loud when the speaker is saying Prem Shekha Ho? Or is that not done? Or?
It doesn't seem to be that that's the way it's done. And Srila Prabhupada never corrected it or made us do that. Actually, another thing I wanted to mention, which I forgot, was the Gaur Premanande. Actually, that's another one. Devotees tend to say Gaur Premananda. It's actually Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. Actually, the devotee is supposed to say the whole thing, because what the devotee is saying is, In Gaur Prema, chant Hari Hari. That's what it means. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. In Gaur Prema, chant Hari Hari. So, of course, the way we do it is Gaur Premanande, and then everybody else says Hari Hari Bo. So, they don't want to wait for the devotee to finish. That's okay. But that's what it means. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. In Gaur Prema, chant Hari Hari. That's what it means. Leelananda Prabhu.
In reference to Sri Sri Radha Krishna, there's a nice pastime of Srila Prabhupada on 22nd Avenue that Umapati used to edit his English writing. Mm-hmm. And one time Prabhupada wrote a letter that it had Sri Sri Radha Krishna. And there was one Sri at the end of a sentence and the other Sri was at the beginning of the next line. And Umapati corrected it, but this must be a mistake. So mm-hmm. he removed one Sri. And when Srila Prabhupada saw it, Prabhupada said, it's okay that you correct me in your English language, but now you want to correct me in my own language. And then the entire day, everybody that came to see Prabhupada, Prabhupada used to tell them, he wants to correct me in my own language.
He thought it was a redundancy. He's an editor. He couldn't help it. Thought it was a typo. Yes, Mataji.
This must go back at least to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's temples, because when I was in Vrindavan, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Anand Brahmachari, but we called him Anand Maharaj out of respect, mm-hmm. he would cook for the few devotees that were there. And so we didn't really have a morning program. He would chant his 64 rounds sitting on one of those rope beds. And then he would cook, and when we sat down to take prasadam, then he would say all the Jai Om Vishnupad prayers mm-hmm. very quickly, and then we would take prasadam. So it was definitely something that was going on in their temples.
Yeah, I suspected it's at least in the Gaudiya Math, but whether it goes back further, or in fact it could be that there's a line that's traditional, but it gets changed as time goes on and updated, you might say, something like that. According to the institution. Just like ours is kind of goes through transformations, we add things. ISKCON founder Acharya, that was something added. So, but it would be interesting to know the history, if anyone has any, you know, what the history of the Prema Dhwani is. It'd be nice to know. Okay, we're past 6 now, time for prasadam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.